Amen. Well, Proverbs chapter number 5, if you turn in your Bibles here to Proverbs chapter number 5, we're going to read the first 6 verses of this chapter. And this is an important message because of the contrast that we are going to make here in this study is going to really begin in the first chapter, but is going to last through the remainder of the book. And we're going to look at that this evening, and so it would be really a, if you would, just a general message on these 6 verses that really applies to the entirety of the book of Proverbs. So notice Proverbs 5, verse 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." Now, as we come here to chapter number 5, we once again are confronted with the expression we find in verse number 3, and that is the strange woman. Now, remember that we were introduced to this character, the strange woman, in chapter number 2. If you go back with me to chapter 2, notice verse number 16. He talked about at the beginning of the chapter about the importance of pursuing after wisdom, about seeking after wisdom. And if we do so, it says that, verse 16, "to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." And so when we introduced two characters in chapter number 2, the first was named the evil man in verse 12, and then the second as the strange woman in verse number 16. Now both the evil man and the strange woman stand in contrast to wisdom. Now that is important because that is the contrast that we see throughout the entire book of Proverbs. For example, if you go back with me to chapter number 1, in Proverbs chapter number 1, notice verse number 20. You remember, as we were introduced to wisdom, the Bible says, "Wisdom crieth without." Notice, she is referred to as, "She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long," and this is what wisdom says, "how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And so we find here that, again, we find that wisdom is crying out. She's uttering her voice. But guess what? We also find that the strange woman is also uttering her voice. And so we have a contrast, and it's gone back and forth in the first 4 chapters, and it continues to do so throughout the remainder of the book. And so in this contrast, throughout this book, is between this, the strange woman and the virtuous woman. Now, that's important here. Although we are introduced later to the virtuous woman, we can certainly make an application to the immorality of the strange woman that she promotes. But we would be missing a vital application if we were not to mention the following: that the strange woman is personified as folly and foolishness, while on the other hand, the virtuous woman is personified as wisdom. Now we're going to find throughout the entire book of Proverbs that the foolish woman or the strange woman speaks, has a message. But we also find that the virtuous woman and wisdom is also speaking. Now, both of those, the strange woman and the virtuous woman, speak, and what they say stands as opposite. The strange woman speaks foolishness, while the virtuous woman speaks wisdom. Those two voices are found in the opening verses of Proverbs chapter 5. Now, as we come, notice, to Proverbs 5, we immediately see the contrast between the two. Notice verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Notice verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop down as a honeycomb. Notice verse 1 again. What the mother says, my son, notice, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Verse 3, and her mouth is smoother than oil. The book of Proverbs is filled with contrasts, but particularly with a contrast between that which is good and that which is evil. And we must be reminded in the Bible and in the world today, there is no middle ground. There is no gray area. It is either black or it is white. The strange woman speaks is always foolishness, and what the virtuous woman speaks is always wisdom. And so we have to understand that when we make decisions and when we choose a path, when we come here to this contrast between the strange woman and the virtuous woman, between foolishness and wisdom, understand we're coming at the end of the road and there is a T at the end, and we're either going to go in one of the other direction. We can't stay in the middle. We can't go in both directions. Only one direction can be taken in our lives. Now, the good is what pleases God. And the evil, important, is that which pleases self. You see, the theme is going to continue. Sometimes people say, you're either going to please God or you're going to please the devil. Let me say this. The devil doesn't care about us. All he cares about is himself. He's always desired glory for himself. All the devil is always trying to do is to rob God of the glory that is rightly due to His name. And so when we set forth this contrast, the appeal of the virtuous woman is to please God, while the appeal of the virtuous woman is to please self. And by the way, that's always been the problem with humanity, has it not? We either please God or we please self. And the devil is thrilled when we please ourselves, because it robs God of the glory that is rightly due His name. Now, this theme is going to continue, as I mentioned, throughout this book. But let us consider an example in this contrast in Proverbs chapter number 8 and Proverbs chapter number 9. Now, if you're familiar with the layout of the book of Proverbs, you'll find that Proverbs chapter 8 is all about wisdom. And I want you to notice, if you go with me to Proverbs 8, notice verse number 1. Proverbs 8 verse 1, the Bible says here, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. So there it is. That's what wisdom cries out. The virtuous woman personifies wisdom. But notice if you go to chapter number 9 and go down to verse number 13. All throughout Proverbs 8, and then halfway through Proverbs chapter 9 is the description of wisdom, what wisdom is saying. Then we come to verse 13 and notice what the foolish woman says. Notice verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now notice here, because there's a contrast that we can pull out here in verse number 14. Notice the foolish woman. She sitteth in the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. But notice in chapter number 8, also in verse number 2. She standeth, that's wisdom, she standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the past. So understand that both the foolish woman and the virtuous woman, both the words of folly and the word of wisdom are both standing in high places, crying out, and basically speaking their words, and they stand as opposite. On the one hand, the foolish woman, on the other hand, the virtuous woman. On the one hand, folly. On the other hand, wisdom. Now, if we go back to our text in Proverbs chapter number 5, we have this contrast throughout the book of Proverbs. And I want us to consider three things from our text this evening as we consider this contrast. And here's the title of the message this evening. Delivered by wisdom or deceived by folly. Delivered by wisdom or deceived by folly. Now the reason why I say that is if you remember in Proverbs chapter number 2, when wisdom was introduced and said wisdom is crying without, that we should seek after wisdom as for hid treasures, he tells us in verse 16 as we looked at, to deliver you from the evil man and to deliver you from the strange woman. You see, the reason why wisdom is speaking out is for us to be delivered by wisdom. But on the other hand, if we listen to the voice of folly, to the foolish woman, then we will be deceived by folly. So as we consider this, delivered by wisdom or deceived by folly, number one, I want us to consider the initial call. Because I want you to notice here in Proverbs chapter number 5, there are two calls that we read about. The first call in verse 1 is this, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. But notice here on the opposite call in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And so here we find the contrast of the initial call. It is interesting that both voices are completely antithetical, the one from the other. Now I want you to notice three things about this initial call from both. The one hand, folly, and the other hand, wisdom. Notice number one, under the initial call, we consider the voice of love versus the voice of lure. Because that's exactly what we see in our text. Notice in the opening verses, what's the two first words? My son. What are those words coming from? Those are the words that come from a father and a mother's lips. Those are words of love, my son. Those are words of familiarity. You see, the voice of wisdom comes from the one who speaks out of love. The one who speaks out of love is the one who desires what is best for that person's life. However, the voice of folly comes from the one who speaks out of lure. Notice, for the lips of a strange woman. You see, that stands in contrast because the voice of love says, my son. The voice of lure comes from a strange woman. It comes from the outside. It is not the voice that is familiar. The one who speaks out of lure desires immediate satisfaction. Now, the words of wisdom, again, come, we could say, from the mother or from the virtuous woman that embodies wisdom, while the words of folly come from the stranger. A mother is always seen as one who desires what is best for her children. She instructs her children in wisdom, for she desires for them to succeed and to be happy. However, the stranger, on the other hand, is seen as one who comes against the mother's counsel. The mother says, my son. But the strange woman says, don't listen to wisdom. Listen to me. And what the stranger does, as standing against mother's counsel, the words from the stranger are not emphasizing what is best for them, but rather speaks of that which is perceived as best for them. So the voice of love versus the voice of lure. That's the first thing we know. But the second thing we note about the initial call is the voice delivered in strength versus the voice delivered in smoothness.
Now I want you to notice here, because this is so true to life and so applicable to when we try to listen to wisdom from God's Word, or to when a parent tries to instruct their children. Notice here the call in verse number 1. My son, here it is, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. On the other hand, notice the strange woman in verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now consider the appeal of wisdom. Notice here the word attend. Attend unto my wisdom. The word attend, as we already noted in previous studies, means this: to prick up. It means to hearken, to give heed to, and to regard. In other words, it is a commanding tone. It is something that says you must pay attention. The words of wisdom are commanding words, and they are strong words. They are such because they contradict the desires of the flesh. So understand, when wisdom is speaking forth, we know it is wisdom because it is that which the flesh opposes. That therefore they are strong. That's why the appeal is, hey, listen, keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard yourself. That is the word of wisdom. They're strong words, are they not? So we find here the voice delivered in strength versus what's the opposite? The voice delivered in smoothness. Isn't that interesting? You see, in contrast, the words that come out of the mouth of the strange woman are described as smoother than oil. You see, the description is clearly indicating that the words are of folly easily find their way and slide into the hearts of men. They are more pleasant to the hearer than the words of wisdom. You see, the words of wisdom are hard to hear. We don't like those words, while the words are folly are easy to hear and they're pleasant. And so when we set forth this contrast in this initial call, that's what we must realize as we distinguish ourselves. Here, God is opening His Word and He says here, this is how you distinguish between wisdom and folly. In this call, in this initial call, the voice of wisdom is the voice of love, while the voice of folly is the voice of lure. The voice of wisdom is the voice that is delivered in strength, while the voice of folly is delivered in smoothness. It will be that which appeals to your flesh. But there's a third thing we note about this initial call, and that is the voice requesting submission versus the voice requesting self-indulgence. Notice in verse number 1 again, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and here it is, and bow thine ear to my understanding. And so here we notice this word bow. It means to go down, to incline yourself, to cause yourself to yield. This is a word of submission. It is not difficult to understand that the voice that says to submit is often scoffed at and rejected. Now, in contrast, in verse 3, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. You see, in contrast, we find the words coming from the lips of the strange woman to be as drop of a honeycomb. Now, honeycomb refers to that which is sweet to the taste. The words of folly come to us as sweet. You see, the words of wisdom initially to us, initially in this initial call, are bitter. While the words of folly initially are sweet. You see, here, as he sets forth this contrast, he's already laid out in chapter 1 and chapter 2, wisdom is crying out. And notice what he's saying, listen to me, pay attention. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and fools delight in those cornings and fools hate hate knowledge? How long are you to continue? That's hard. But that's what wisdom says. While folly says, come here, indulge, let's all have one purse. Let's all do this together. You see, the initial call is quite different, is it not? And God has opened His Word and showed us that we must fully be aware, and we ask ourselves, why is the majority of the world
not going after wisdom. I'll tell you, because of the initial call. It's a call that's out of love, not out of lure. It's a call delivered in strength. And it's a call delivered in submission. Requesting for submission. While the call of folly is a call of indulgence. It is a call of smoothness. It is a call of lure. But I want us to consider, not only do we see the initial call in our text, but secondly, we see the intentional contradiction. We ask ourselves this question. Why does the strange woman come and stand in contrast to wisdom? Why does folly speak? Why does the strange woman seek to capture the attention of the simple one? What are the words from the strange woman designed to do? Well, I want you to notice with me in Proverbs 5. Notice here again, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest, here it is, this is the reason. Why does she tend to opposition? Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Now I want you to notice here, because the voice of folly is an intentional contradiction. The answer here is found in verse 6. Lest, why does she speak? Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Well, remember, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is it not? We are supposed to ponder the path of life. That's what how we ended chapter 4. Notice in chapter number 4, in verse number 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's what we've been asked to do if we're going to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What must we do? We must ponder the path of our feet. Now, let's be reminded, because that's important for us as we consider this contrast. What does it mean to ponder the path? We talked about it last week, but let me remind us for just a few moments. The word ponder, remember, ponder means to roll something flat. You roll out something before you. The expression and application means to prepare the road ahead. It is a picture to illustrate a person who mentally weighs the road ahead, someone who weighs the direction of his life ahead before making the decision to go in that direction. Therefore, to ponder means to consider well the path before you walk in it. Now, it is certain that we don't know what a certain day may bring forth. It is true that we cannot know every step we're going to go through. But the truth of this verse is teaching us that we should prepare our steps. We should think ahead before we walk in that way. Now understand, what the strange woman does is she comes alongside so that we don't do that. That's why she speaks. That's why she raises her voice. She doesn't want us to think ahead. She doesn't want us to consider the ways we're about to enter. She's only interested in the temporal, the now, and that's where the distraction came from. So why does she speak? To keep us from pondering the path of life. He goes on to say in verse of chapter 4, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways, notice, be established. Now, the word established has a wide application in God's Word, as I said last week. The word established properly means to set something up. It speaks of that which is ready, that which is certain, that which is prepared, that which is firm, that which is directed, and that which is ordered. Let all thy ways be established. We went through a study of the Word, and we determined, according to Exodus 34:2, that all of our ways must be made ready. All of our ways, according to Deuteronomy 13:14, all of our ways must be made certain. Joshua 1:11 teaches us that all of our ways must be prepared. Joshua 3:17 teaches us that all of our ways must be firm. According to Psalm 119, verse 5, the Bible says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." And in Psalm 119, verse 133, we learn the truth, order my steps in thy word. Think about those words. Order my steps in thy word. So, we ask ourselves this question here. When the strange woman comes and she speaks her words to keep us from pondering the path of life, what is she opposing? She is opposing the word of God. Because the only way that our lives can be ordered and directed and firm is when it is based upon God's Word. God's wisdom. Understand that when the father and the mother speaks in the book of Proverbs to the son, it is not them spewing out their own wisdom, it is them speaking the wisdom of God. That's what Solomon received. Remember when he asked of God? God said, hey, you ask whatever I want, whatever you want. And what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. And so the wisdom is not from Solomon himself. It comes directly from God. Proverbs 16:9 tells us, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So how do we ponder our paths? How do we establish our ways? Well, Psalm 119:133 tells us, order my steps in thy word. You see, what is it that we must weigh in our minds when considering our way? It is only the Word of God, the wisdom of God. Amen. Therefore, we conclude that by answering the question as asked earlier, what are the words from the strange woman designed to do? They are designed to stand and to contradict the wisdom of God found in His Word. That's what they're designed to do. You see, in contrast to the Word of God, that is the never-changing, that is never-changing, we find the ways of the strange woman. And he says, notice, if you go back to Proverbs 5, notice verse number 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Remember what it means to ponder? It means to establish, to think ahead, to have something that is firm. Her ways are movable. It's the exact opposite. That thou canst not know them. You see, so in contrast to God's Word that is never changing, that is firm, we find that the ways of the strange woman are movable, that then that canst not know them. In other words, they're always changing. She's always trying a new appeal, a new set of words, a new set of tricks to try to trick people away from the firm way that God has prescribed. Charles Bridges said, he says, she works upon every weakness, seizes every unguarded moment, all with one deeply hidden object, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. The checks of conscience must be diverted. No time must be given to reflection. The intrusion of one serious thought might break the spell and open the way of escape. And she doesn't want that. Psalm 117, verse 4 tells us, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, they have kept me from the path of the destroyer. What did the psalmist say? That it was that kept him from the path of the destroyer? His word. The word from his lips. Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11. If you go back there with me, notice in Proverbs 2, remember what we read in verse 10 and 11. Proverbs 2, verse 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And then he goes on in verse 12 and then in verse 16 to deliver you from the evil man and in verse 16 to deliver thee from the strange woman. So we find in our text in chapter number 5 the initial call and we find the contrast between those two calls. We also notice the intentional contradiction from the strange woman who opposes everything that comes from the lips of God. But there's a third thing we find in our text and that is the incontrovertible consequences. I want you to notice two verses, verse 4 and 5 of Proverbs 5. Well, Eric agrees. He says, amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 5, notice verse 4 and 5. After we read verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But, here it is. Remember the initial call? It was a lure. The initial call, remember, was delivered in smoothness. The initial call was a request of self-indulgence. And so it was something that was pleasant. It was something that was readily received. But, verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of hell. In chapter 7, in verse 27, the Bible says her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So understand, that's folly. What the strange woman speaks in opposition of the God's Word that seems sweet initially, it seems good, it comes right smoothly into our hearts, it changes our heart to go a direction away from God. But then all of a sudden it turns around, and all of a sudden after we've indulged in that sin, all of a sudden bitterness comes in, and then a sword pierces through our heart and cuts us through. And in that moment, the bitterness that we experience because of having listened to the strange woman is much deeper and more severe than the bitterness we initially heard that wisdom delivered in her instruction. You know, we find this truth illustrated in the life of Solomon himself. If you go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 11, you remember Solomon began his reign in a way that pleased God. God was so impressed with Solomon's request that He gave him the wisdom. And not only did He give Solomon wisdom, Solomon became the most prosperous king. And I'm talking about in prosperity. I'm talking about financially, economically, and the impact he had around the world. Solomon, according to the history books, was one of the wealthiest kings that ever lived. And some believe he was the wealthiest that ever lived. But I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter number 11, if we begin in reading in verse 1, I want you to know what happens. And again, you remember that the lips of the strange woman come as honeycomb. They come as smooth oil. 1 Kings 11, 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away, here it is, your heart from their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all of his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Notice the Bible says he did for all his what? What kind of wives? Strange wives. For every one of them, he did the same thing. In verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Did God do that? Yes. After Solomon, the kingdom of Israel divided with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And so because of what Solomon did, understand, in this very text, something that puzzled me got my attention because I was thinking about David. Because here God says that your heart was turned towards other gods, and you've committed whoredom with these strange women, and you haven't been like your father David. And for just a moment, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute, David did the same thing. You remember with Bathsheba? He committed adultery, he killed Uriah, and what he did was certainly an evil thing. But here God commends David, and he says, Solomon, you haven't been like your father. But something that we must be aware of is that David's heart was never turned away from God. But Solomon's heart was. What happened? Yes, David's sin, what he did was evil. It must be condemned according to God's word, according to the consequences of what David did. He should have died for his own sin. But what we see is that David's heart, we understand that David's heart was never turned towards other gods. And when he was confronted with his sin, he confessed it before God and he made it right. But understand, his heart was always towards God. But Solomon's heart began to be turned. Why? Because he began to listen to the smoothness, something that says, hey, indulge in this now. You see, the folly that was spoken to him through all those multitudes of strange women from all those pagan nations. What they said to him was what he had earlier in his life condemned in his own writings. By not listening to the counsel of his mother and attending unto wisdom. What did he do? He listened to the lips from the strange woman that dropped down as a honeycomb. He listened to the lips that were delivered in smoothness. And as a result, his heart was captured. Remember chapter 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The way we can do that is to ponder our path. What does a strange woman do? She keeps us from pondering the ways of our lives. I want you to go with me in Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes, remember, Proverbs, I believe, was written when, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when Solomon was right with God, as he wrote all the wisdom, and the majority of the book of Proverbs is from the hand of King Solomon. But when we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, it is after Solomon has wasted his life, after he has lived his life pursuing all the vain things of this world, and he even contemplates, says, look, if this is life, it is not worth it. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, he explains something, and he puts it this way, which I believe will help us, give us understanding here. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, in verse number 25, notice what Solomon writes. This is after a life of sin, after a life where his heart was captured towards other gods. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 7:25, I apply my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the women, whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Now, obviously, he's referring back to the Adam in the initial creation, that God made man upright. He made man in his likeness and in his image. But what did man seek? He sought for inventions. Adam and Eve thought to themselves, we could be just like God. We could elevate ourselves and we could know everything that God knows. And they bought in the lie. You see, it was smoothness to them. It tasted sweet initially to them. But then as soon as they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, at that moment they were ashamed. And the bitterness that stepped in at that very moment was more painful than any of the wisdom that God had given them when He said, don't touch that tree. Don't eat that fruit. You see, Solomon himself says, the heart was turned. He said, and notice again, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her bands and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God, notice, shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. You see? We either escape from her or we're taken by her. You say, what's her? Folly, foolishness. There's no middle ground. We either please God and we're delivered, or we're taken by her. There is no middle ground. You see, if we find ourselves under such influence, You say, Pastor, what do we do? Well, what do we do if we are under such influence? If we've gone after foolishness, if we listen to the words of folly that were sweet to us, that were smooth to us, but now we find those things to be bitter, what do? Do what the prodigal son did. In Luke 15:17, the Bible says, as he was eating in the pig pen with the pigs, the Bible says, and when he came to himself and thought to himself, my servants have more to eat and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. You see, the wonderful thing about God is even if we've gone to the ways of folly, we can come to ourselves and turn to God and once again listen to wisdom. What a wonderful thing it is to know that that's the kind of God that we have. That although for a time we may go after the ways of folly, God accepts us as we turn to Him for deliverance. You see, as we come here to Proverbs chapter 5, you've turned there again, we find this contrast. And again, this contrast is going to be seen throughout the entirety of this book. Finally, conclude with the virtuous woman, which embodies wisdom. And there are again two voices out there. Perhaps that's why he said in chapter 3 that we are to seek after wisdom. It's the principal thing. That we are to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, not lean into our own understanding, in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. Amen. So, there's two possibilities tonight as we come to conclusion in this message. We are either right now being delivered or we're being deceived. That's the only two possibilities. Right now, we are either being delivered or we're being deceived. We're either seeking to please God, and as we do so, we are delivered, or we're seeking to indulge in self-satisfaction, self-gratification, and we're deceived. But remember, and that's very important for even parents raising children, that the initial call of wisdom is a hard one. It's a bitter one. But yet it yields sweetness. While the initial call of the strange woman seems to be sweet, but it yields bitterness. You see, that's exactly the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He came to this earth and He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was wisdom. That's why when Jesus Christ comes in the scene, they said, greater than Solomon is here. Who could be greater than Solomon? God Himself. And as Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life of 33 and a half years, and then He went to the cross, and we looked at the cross, and we thought to ourselves, well, He followed right the ways of God. He followed what God had set forth for the redemption of men. And as He followed the instruction, it seemed that as He got on the cross, that was a bitter thing. He drank of the bitter cup. But yet He did so following the ways of God. And then we look at His death as a substitute for mankind. And we look at the fact that He was buried after 3 days. He rose again. Understand, the embodiment of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ, His life testifies of that. That as we follow the way that God has for us, it may be bitter initially, but then, oh, how it yields manifold sweetness that we cannot comprehend. And our salvation truly is that which cannot be equaled in sweetness. And deliverance from the strange woman certainly will not be equaled from the initial sweetness that we hear from the lips of the strange woman. By what wisdom yields in our lives over time. May the Lord help us to lay out this contrast and to look beyond. We know the strange woman is a personification of immorality. But we must not neglect that there is a philosophy that is taught from the strange woman. And there is also a philosophy that is taught from the virtuous woman. and those stand in contrast. And I believe God will help us to discern between those two voices based upon our text this evening, to find the distinctions between them, but to also find what those things produce.